Hey everybody, this is Chad, and I just wanted, before we started the show, to let you know that December 3rd in Madison, Wisconsin, I am going to be recording a special at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. It's going to be exciting as shit. I'm so excited to be doing it in Madison because that city has been a home away from home for me. And everybody that works at the club, the family that owns the club, all of the staff, the city of Madison has been very, very good to me. So I'm excited to go there. And also, if you live in Chicago or Minneapolis, you can drive there. Or if you live in Milwaukee or Appleton or anywhere, there's an airport. It doesn't matter. You can come. I know I have shit on traveling for comedy in the past, specifically to see me. But man, oh man, would I like to blow the doors off this theater and get one of these fancy, dancey specials recorded.
The Orpheum. That's incredible. That's such a great place.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'll be the first comedian to ever record a special at this Orpheum. And tickets go on sale. They're on sale. They're on sale as of Friday.
Let's go.
Yeah, they're on sale right now.
One show or two shows?
Two shows. ChadDaniels.com. And hang in. There might be an even more exciting announcement regarding the two shows. But for now, this is it. I'm looking forward to recording December 3rd, Orpheum. Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets available at chaddaniels.com/tour. Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere hello. You may notice a different tone in my voice today, as I am in a very, very good mood, despite a couple things trying to bring me down, including the rope that was attached to an anchor on my lily pad underwater. It doesn't matter. I'm smiling. I'm in a great mood. Thanks for coming back and joining us. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundson.
It's nice to see you, Chad. I assume the lily pad is a term for some sort of flotation device, and you haven't anchored plants to your shoreline.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Well, I have a lily pad. Is a 3-inch piece of foam that unrolls into a makeshift raft.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like a raft where you start to sizzle because all the water evaporates. It sinks down in the water. You lay in the water, but you're still being supported by this foam so you don't go all the way underwater. It's very fun. Kids love it. You can have wrestling matches on it. It is a great time, but there is an anchor that goes straight down from it on a bungee cord. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, but I'm all alone. I'm all alone to do everything by myself. And
just Chad out on a lily pad crying about, well, no one will wrestle me. I have no kids to wrestle.
You'll never know if I'm crying because, like I said, you're already laying in water. It's the perfect place to go sweat and or cry.
Speaking of crying, yeah. Why is your head so red? What is going on with your skull right now?
Well, I think what happened was the sun is coming right through my picture window.
Okay.
So I have, excuse me, but guys, this is crazy. I have gorgy natural sunlight. It is gorgy. You guys, hit that like button and smash subscribe because we are off and running on Middle of Somewhere podcast.
Smash it. Oh, smash it, baby.
Smash it. You son of a bitch, smash it. Okay, so I have awesome sunlight coming through and it just makes my face look more red and it makes my beard look a little whiter, but I'd like to talk to you about that because on my arms and my legs, they have been exposed all summer, perfectly blonde, like towhead type blonde hair. And when I was little, I used to get bright blonde hair in the summer because I never wore hats. Now I wear hats. So I get like from my hat line down, it does look whiter, but there's got to be some blonde in there. I refuse to think it's just white.
I definitely think there's some blonde there. Your beard has, because I'm not this close to your face very often. Like, even in real life, you wouldn't get as close to someone's face as you do when you're recording a podcast.
Sure.
Using this methodology. But it...
Well, you wouldn't. I like to make out sometimes.
There is so many different colors in... You have a Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat of a beard. It looks like somebody suicide bombered a barbershop as your face walked by and you caught little bits of everybody. It is a magical festival of hair.
That sounds right. It makes you think that a couple of my grandparents were whores.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different stuff going on in here.
Can I tell you what's going on with my water?
Please.
Outside of my property, we are so close to closing the chapter on the muskrat saga. For those of you who are new to the program, a muskrat burrowed into my property and tried to undermine the value of my purchase. I declared war. I lost the war. I'm trying to re-win. I'm trying to, you know, undo that loss and win the war. It's been back and forth. The deck has been built, and the only thing that's been left to build, Chad, is the get rid of the muskrats forever structure. And then we have to finish the little bit of the deck where they burrowed into and the dock. We have to rebuild the dock.
Okay.
So we had everything pulled up. This is how... So basically, my wife's father, Papa Dave...
Yep. Well, I was going to ask you something. So do you have to remove all of your stuff from the water in the winter in Cincinnati?
No.
You leave it year round.
So I think some people might remove stuff. You don't have to remove the docks, and you definitely, the pontoons, it's such thin ice. The thing that my pontoons are made out of, that's how good I am at, like, whatever sort of material that the tunes are made out of, it handles the thin ice just fine.
Oh, I want a pontoon like that then, because I have to take my pontoon out, which, by the way, the battery's dead again. It's, you know what? Listen, Bennington, not a sponsor. Here's the thing. My battery doesn't work every time I charge it. So my little charging clip, you know, that you have to put on the batteries, those two little clips, one of them broke. So I have to physically hold it on the battery. And then my arm isn't long enough to start the engine. So I need someone else to come turn the key. It's so fucking annoying, but I'm glad you don't have to deal with taking your stuff out of the water. I'm in a great mood. I had a rope around my foot yesterday as I had to lift the anchor and then swim the lily pad in. And finally, just for a second, I let the anchor go to see what it would do. And it did indeed pull me underwater. But I am in a fantastic mood. I think that getting stuff out of the water is fun, and I'm glad you don't have to do it. And tell me about this dock and this deck. This dick, if you want to. I don't care. We could do all of the vowels.
So we are so close to having this deck done. So Jenna's dad, Papa Dave, came down here this past weekend to finish the last little part and the dock. Okay. But I want to go back in time before that moment when we realized the depths of the muskrat destruction. I understood that we were going to need to repair it and create a fortress against future muskrats. And so I called.
It's like you're playing a real life version of Dig Dug. And you don't want your whole house to sink into the water. This is pretty great that you have to build a structure to get rid of the muskrat.
It's a high risk, no reward game of Dig Dug. And so I called around, and there aren't a lot of lakes in Cincinnati. So you call these landscaping companies and you're like, have you ever built a seawall? And they're like, no. And that's it. That's the whole conversation. So I finally find a landscaping company that has some idea about it. They say they have some idea about it.
Okay.
The guy comes out. I bring him down. We stand near the shore, and I point to him the issue. And then, without exaggeration, we took part in the longest pause of maybe my life. It was only probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes. But I did a thorough like, and that's where he came in, and here's where the tunnels are that we dug out, and this is where I want to protect from, and I'm going to pull all that stuff so he can't get in there. Like, this huge explanation. And then he just sits there and goes, eh. And then he's kind of just bobbing his head, just looking It's like I said all that stuff, and then there was a tape delay, and I had to wait from the moment I ended it saying it. Then the first word I said hit his ear, and I had to watch him listen to me say everything. It was very, very weird. And
it's like when news outlets used to do that for like soldiers in the Middle East. They're like, so we heard that Fallujah was taken, and we're excited for you. If you could tell us about that, we can see a victory going on in the background. Just go ahead and let us know how the day went for you. And then it's like just 3 minutes of somebody nodding.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, Becky, Fallujah did fall today after 3 minutes. That's a very fun thing to watch.
So, but then that would have been weird enough. But he gets through all this and then he goes, yeah, you know, you're probably looking in the $8,000 or $9,000 range. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm definitely not looking in the $8,000 or $9,000. I was like, I've grown up on lakes my whole life. It does not cost that much for you to dig some holes and drop some rock. And then this dude goes, yeah, no, you know, yeah, maybe like 4,000. You could probably get it done for 4,000 or 5,000. I was like, did I just negotiate 4 to 5 grand off your price by disagreeing with you? You're not hired. You're not. There's no world. Is that right. First of all, I always used to hate it when I get why they do it, but construction guys come out and they go, they take a look at everything, and you're like, kind of where am I talking price range? They go, oh, you know, I gotta get home, look at the numbers. You know, I want to do a real bid. You're like, just give me a range so I know what to emotionally prepare for in terms of my finances. But now I've switched. Now I am on board with that method because I can't have some guy out here like 9,000 or 4,000. You know, what if you just handed me a 20 and French kissed me? I'll get this done. Like, what sort of negotiator are you as a person?
Right. It's like President's Day when they're like, hey, guys, it's Chad from Chad's Mattress World. We got deals coming out the president's a-holes. You know, normally this mattress is $1 million. But this weekend, for President's Day only, it's $2,000. And then you go in there and you're like, what about $800? They're like, oh, shit. All right, I'll bring it to your house for $800. I don't know why Dave Waite works at the mattress shop, but zing, zap, 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 zippity, zap.
So,
God, he's a funny motherfucker.
He's the funniest. So I shovel this man off of our property.
How much did he charge you for that?
It was highly negotiated, but we went with $11,000. So there's another company that comes out. This guy actually knows what he's talking about. He speaks. He's like, yeah, well, there's no delay. I go, look, I don't even finish. He's like, yeah, you're going to have to do this, 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 and this. And I was like, I think that sounds correct. And he goes, let me get home. I'll call you. I'll give you a bid. He calls me half hour later. He goes, you know, I found out when we had guys available. Here's the price. I go, that's pretty fair. I'm in. Right? They're going to do it. And they're going to do it the week my dad is down here visiting. You remember that a few weeks back.
Okay. Yep.
By the way, I like this dude. I really like his company. But it's the week of, and he's supposed to be doing it on a Tuesday, and he calls me on a Monday, and he's like, hey, we had some stuff come up. I can't make it out there, which is not uncommon in the construction world.
Or the podcast world, turns out.
And then he goes, we're now, you know, with things getting a little busier since we can't make it out, we're now looking at late September. I was like, what do you mean? You can't. Like, if you push it back a week, but late September, you can't push it back 60 days. There's no way that you were that something. What, did a bomb go off in your neighborhood? Did your truck
fall? Do you remember? A bomb went off in September.
I just don't understand. So now, Papa Dave is coming. He's supposed to come that week on Friday. Everything was lined up. We were supposed to get all the muskrat stuff done. So now we're in a situation where me.
Hold on. I'm so sorry to keep interrupting you. But do you know how funny it is to look across at another grown man who you are such good friends with and hear the phrase, so we had to get all the muskrat stuff done. It's just so fucking funny to me that you're still battling this goddamn muskrat.
It's It's been a long summer, muskrat wise, but Dave, Papa Dave is coming, and so now we don't have a choice except for getting this muskrat well done. But here's the situation. As you know, I'm not of the physically capable variety.
Okay.
In terms of construction work.
Sure.
My father's down here. He's also had a back surgery, and he's at a point in his life where he's not a day laborer anymore. I don't want him building, right. All this stuff. And so we call a good friend of yours and mine, a man with all the muscles in the world, the Schubles. I call Alex Schubert.
Yeah.
And I offer him the Godfather deal. I go, Schubes, I had a weird negotiator come out here, and then somebody else who clearly had an incident in their neighborhood that cost them their truck and tools and employees and can't get out here anymore.
Right.
I've got a whole bunch of money that I am going to give you if you come out and help us build a riprap rock wall. Do you know what riprap is?
Sure I do, but let's explain it for the people. It's basically a rock wall that normally is used for the avoidance of waves eroding your yard.
Yep, it's big. It's a pieced together rock wall with, 6 to 8 inch rocks. I think that's a good size. You can get bigger ones. I like a good 6 to 8 inch. I'm a big 6 to 8 inch guy. I like a 6 to 8 inch riprap. Riprap with your tip tap.
How skinny do you like the rocks?
As skinny as possible. I want the rock to get really far in there, but I don't necessarily need it to fill up everything on the, let's keep moving.
You like it to touch bottom, not necessarily bang the sides.
Yeah.
Smart. It's good fishing.
So Shubes comes out, and I know I've talked about this before. Shubes is, yes.
I'm going to guess that Shubes argued with you about the rocks, and he was more of a 12 to 15 inch rock guy. Old sweatpants Shubes.
So old sweatpants Shubes comes out swanging and slanging. And a couple things. I have to tell you this story first because it was the moment of my summer. My dad and Alex and I, Alex is hired. We have now brought Alex on to help me build the riprap wall. And
Alex is Shubes, for those listening. Alex is also Shubes.
Alex same Schubert. So we have like this, oh my gosh, so this dot, the people who lived here before me, wonderful people. I enjoy them.
Yep.
But we go to pull up the dock because it's kind of rotted. And, you're pulling up the dock boards and pulling it apart. And apparently what happened was when they built their first dock, it was a little crooked. And they wanted their new dock to be straight. And so they just built a dock on top of a dock. And, wedges. So we pulled up a dock to find another shitty dock. It's like, you're gonna
it's
have
like a Russian dock.
You're gonna have sex with your partner and you pull their underwear down and you're like, why is there more underwear under here? Like, how did you plan your day? It's not.
You know what? I totally get that though. I'm on that person's side, chafing and stuff.
So we have the remnants of dock number two, the base level dock, the original dock, dock 1.0. How many names should I come up with for this dock?
Sounds like you're advertising a movie.
So the Dockinator. So Shubes, there's like just a few frame boards where the dock was. And Shubes is kind of looking at stuff, figuring out what we're going to do. And I'm like, hey, Alex, I don't want to tell you how to live. But if I were you, I wouldn't go like fucking jumping around on this shit. And he looks at me and he steps onto one of the sideboards, leans on it a little bit. And he goes, oh, this shit is solid as fuck. And then he jumped on it and immediately collapsed into the water. And
yeah,
it's only about a foot and a half water, but he collapsed in that way where his entire body went under. Like he was sinking into a bathtub. I don't know if Funniest Home Videos still exists and if they'll allow the phrase solid as fuck on there, But if we'd have gotten it, that's a $10,000 video right there.
Oh, those are so funny when people are near water and they go, no, 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 check this out.
Splash. So then Alex and I go about, they deliver all this rock onto my property, and my dad has to supervise. I've talked about this before. I have OCD that is very involved in every aspect of every moment of my life, and Shubes has Asperger's. And so my dad had to watch a guy with OCD, like put it right there, OCD, and a kid with Asperger's, Shubes is a man. I always call him a kid because
he's a grown ass man. And listen, I've seen him in sweatpants. Trust me on that. He's a grown ass man.
My dad had to watch the two of us put together a rock wall like it was a puzzle. And I think we've talked about that on the show here before. But it was an outrageous task that we did accomplish. I'm at the point where I think we should almost, it's such a nice looking rock wall that I think we should form a, you know, like a neurodivergent shoreline company. Like, hey, you know, do you want to have a good time laughing and watch two guys hate building a rock wall? Hire Cy and Alex and watch them OCD Asperger's through your property. It was, we just start hiring.
Call 1-800, fuck you, Tetris.
We just only hire people who are like extreme hypochondriacs and agoraphobes. We have to like bring them down in a van so they can look through a window and they just oversee the site. Here at Neurodivergent Shorelines, you know, we won't get it done on time and it won't be good, but thank you for the money because we don't earn it elsewhere. So we get, Shubes fucking crushed it, man. Despite my OCD, Shubes crushes it. The rock wall looks good. He earns his money. It was less than $9,000.
You're kidding.
Somehow it was less than $9,000 to get it accomplished.
Unbelievable.
So then, now we're all the way back in the future. I tell you all this to tell you that Papa Dave was here this weekend, and I didn't think... Like, the rock wall goes all the way out underneath the dock. You know, it's kind of runs out on the shoreline, and it keeps going a bit. And so he's trying to frame up this new dock while in water boots balancing on rocks that aren't, like, fastened together. They're loose rocks because that's how rocks work. I walked outside after he'd been out there for 20 minutes, and I think he had sweat more. I think he'd sweated more than everyone who played in week one of the NFL. He, like, the amount of core work that he got on Saturday balancing on rocks like he was some sort of Cirque du Soleil performer trying to build, like... When he got home and everything turned out okay, I was so thankful because, hey, he did an awesome job, but I had just had this fear that, you know, not that he's going to die out on the rocks, but that he basically John Henry's himself balancing on rocks all day.
Sure.
Was that the guy who beat the locomotive, John Henry?
Yeah, through the mountain in Colorado, yeah.
Yep. So that's what I was worried about, and I mean, if you think Jenna's going to just let me forget that her dad got John Henry'd because we wanted to get our dock done before the fall season, that would have never gone away. So I'm very thankful for Papa Dave, not only for coming out and finishing the framing of the dock on top of the riprap, but also that he did indeed survive it, which is a double big bonus for us. Because I got to tell you, I don't think you survive it, Chad. I think you're a natural athlete. I think you're still out there on those rocks right now. I think we end up having to put one of those little wreaths out there on the side of my dock and name it the Chatty Daddy Memorial Dock, stuff like that.
No chance. I could absolutely deal with it. I had to take a bungee cord off my ankle whilst underwater being held down by an anchor. I'm a water guy. I'm a bit of a water guy, and that's fine. I do think it would be, I would be so nervous. The truth is, I probably would collapse, like somehow under the dock I was building, and you'd walk out there and just see my water boots kicking, like the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz when the house landed on her, like, ah, somebody save me. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I'd probably slip and fall, but I do like to talk mean shit, you know that. And then as I was talking shit, I was like, oh man, you're going to be there in less than a week, and he'll be able to call you on it, so you need to back up your intensity right now.
Yeah, don't make
have
this,
to walk out on the
Yeah,
rocks.
Let him walk away from this conversation. Don't let him remember it, because I can pull up some dock boards real fucking quick and have you go do a two-step out on that riprap.
Listen, I'm going to go out on the riprap. You know that about me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to race your boat into other boats. I'm excited. I'm stoked for this trip.
I know you are.
I am so stoked for the trip. Listen, I get there. The Bengals play the 3:25 game. Then the Bills play Sunday night. Then the Vikes play Monday night. It's like, say what?
Gamble,
it's
gamble.
Gonna be so
it's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be able to gamble on football. We got left, right, center going on. We're going to get some of the boys back
together.
Some
of them boys.
It's going to be fun as
Lee,
shit, man.
Lee, Randall Barnhizzle. Shubes and his SWAT pants dick. We're going to have the whole Wayne Wetmop's going to be there, I think. We might have the whole Wetmop might be there. We're talking about something that will have happened by the time people hear this podcast. But no, actually no, it won't. It'll kind of be
we'll be
right in the middle of it. We'll be right dead center in the middle of it.
I'll be leading the decathlon 6-0 by the time people
what's
hear this.
What's going
podcast.
On in your life? What's happening in the? I don't need to hear your decathlon bullshit. What's happening in the land of Chad?
Let me just push this button. Ka! Ka! It's the empty nest report.
No.
So here's what's going on in my life. No, I have it on the button. I have it on my little button.
Is
sheet.
That?
So.
Can you hold on? Can I just give you a note on your button bar? I think it would
sucks.
Be nice. I mean, it does. It is one of the... I don't know, like, if people are power ranking the things that suck about our show, I mean, Cy Southern voice is on there. I think...
My singing.
Yep, your button bar is on there.
I sing too much. My button bar is definitely on there. Ooh, hold on. I just got an email from the button bar person. Oh, they added a new button. Interesting. Brat! Where'd my kids go, brat? The empty nest report. Oh, that was a nice one. That guy does really good work. The guy
I was gonna give your button bar producer notes, but he really amped it up with that one. Can he, if you could send this email off quick and maybe get something back?
Yeah, just a sec.
Yeah, okay. I would love if it doesn't really capture what's going on. Can he maybe add in like an adult whimper after the bird? You know what I'm saying? Like maybe the empty nest report. Oh no! Like something.
Sure. That, yeah. Hold on. Hold on.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I see the bubbles.
God, he's
running
fast.
Back. Yeah, he's always on standby when we're doing this. Oh, yep. Okay. So, wow. He must have just edited it right on there. Here we go. Let me push this.
Brat! Where'd my kids go? Brat! The empty nest report.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, so I'm not, you know, I'm coming around on the button bar. But okay, so are we officially in an empty nest report?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but you know, to other people that have podcasts might be listening and they think, oh my God, how do I get a hold of the button bar guy? He's $8,000 to $9,000 per button.
Yeah.
So heads up.
He'll
on
negotiate.
That. No negotiating.
Oh, he won't negotiate.
No negotiating.
Oh, okay, that's pretty stiff.
Yeah. Yeah, because I told him, I grew up on a button bar. And I know that it doesn't cost that much to do a button bar. And he was like, actually, it does. I'm like, all right, never mind.
You're such a queef.
I am in such a weird mood. It's kind of fun. Okay, so empty nest report is this. I'm FaceTiming with Olivia, And, you know, she's a little bit homesick, of course, mm-hmm. as kids are in this situation.
Sure.
And I tell her, I go, hey, I'm going to see you in 15 days because I'm going out for a Foo Fighters contest or concert. I hope it's a contest.
That would be way better if it was a contest.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going out to the Foo Fighters concert at the Forum in Los Angeles. And so I get to see her in 15 days. And she freaked out. She was so excited. And I'm going to tell you something that made me happy. And then listen to what the baby boy did. So he's getting into coding. Okay. Isaac, my son, is getting into coding. Yeah, Isaac D. He's always wanted to, the I-Man, he's always wanted to do this stuff. And so finally he goes, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to change kind of my life structure and I'm going to go for what I really want to go for. And he just got into this... this coding boot camp at Rutgers University.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pretty good deal because they, you know, obviously you pay for it, but there's nonstop 24-hour tutoring if you need it. And then they help you with job placement, like all this really cool stuff. And when he was talking to me about it, he doesn't really, you know, he's a little like me where he keeps his feelings. I mean, I know I don't on this podcast, but for the most part, I kind of keep my feelings at a surface level just so nobody can, you know, read me or whatever.
Yeah, you react, but you don't, I can't, like, it takes a while for me, like, you show up to a podcast, like, I don't have any stories, I'm fine, and then 2 minutes later, you're screaming, Siri, call Sai, into your microphone. So you do
right,
hide
yeah.
it pretty
I had a,
well.
I had a meltdown.
You do hide it pretty well.
Thank you. But Isaac, he was excited, man. He's really excited. I'm so goddamn proud of that kid for taking a chance and doing this. So nothing funny here, but that's the update on the... well, hold on.
What? Where'd my kids go? What?
That was the empty nest report.
I'm back out on the button bar. What? It's a good industry to get into, says Sai, a guy who doesn't know anything about any industries. But it seems like coding is the new pharmacist. You remember 10 years ago, they told everybody, like, you want to make money and have a good career, be a pharmacist. Now, right. Now it feels like, hey, everything's going to be robot soon. Learn to code. So that seems like a very smart move.
Yeah, I mean, you need coding to be able to speak to computers, but you can create whatever you want. He was explaining it to me, and it's so fascinating, especially since if he ever calls me like, hey, could you help me with my homework? I'll be like, unplug it, wait 30 seconds, and then plug it back in. That's how I code.
You can't die because if you die and my family has to come to your funeral and my dad meets your son, I don't want to listen to my dad ask your son how to program a sex robot. My dad has been talking about sex robots for a decade and a half now, and I don't want him to know anyone who codes. I don't think that's a healthy situation. I don't know why you
I don't even think you'll have to introduce them.
I don't know why you had to decease in that situation. There are plenty of other hypothetical fictional scenarios where my father could meet your son, but
right. No, I picture open casket.
Sure.
Because that is in my will. It's open casket, but I want to be pumped full of sodium so I'm super bloated. And then I want to be cremated after that.
Okay.
So like there's kind of a saltiness in the air, so you're like, are we by the sea? What's going on? Am I Manchester by the sea? And so
where we
that's what I want to happen. But
where are we having your funeral at? Is it a church or is this some sort of community hall? Is it the sort of place where we can have a painting of you sitting in a throne behind your open casket?
Sure. I'd like to have it at Madison Square Garden with just the tag on the invite to my funeral is, I told you fuckers. But I picture Isaac going up, you know, they go, does anyone have a story about Chad? And like no one, you know, everybody awkwardly shuffles. And then Isaac gets up there and he goes, I don't really have a story about my dad, but I would like to advertise my new business, programming sex robots. If anyone needs to talk to me after the show. And it, I am calling it a show because my dad would have wanted that because he always wanted a show here. But anyways, it was nice of all 14 of you to come.
And yeah, if anybody needs...
If anybody needs help programming a sex robot, please see me at the... there's a little tray of sandwiches over there that will feed everybody here. Kind of awkward, but meet me over there.
I'm trying to think of what story I'm telling at your funeral, assuming I'm able to travel for it. You know...
Assuming you are not dead first. Fuck off.
I think...
I'm a natural athlete, bruh.
I mean... Sure. The, I think, even if I can't travel, I think I get Mike Cronin to, you know, wear an iPad on like a necklace and just go stand in front of everybody, and I can give my eulogy that way. I don't know what story I'm going with, but anyway, yeah, so that's great. I'm very excited for young Isaac. That's a big, wonderful deal.
Yeah, I'm excited for him too. Very, very, like I said, very proud of him to take this chance because not everybody, you know, does that, but he's young enough where, and he wants it. So that's good. He's excited.
Better than what I saw other kids his age doing this weekend. I had to go to get, I went to buy tacos on Saturday night because I needed to get some food in Papa Dave so he didn't perish. You know, so I went to our favorite taco place in this area. It's called Candado Tacos.
Candado.
Candado Tacos. So here's the thing with Candado. What you do is you show up, you order on your phone, okay? And then you get a text message that says, thank you for ordering tacos with us. Your order should be ready soon. We will text you when it's ready. And you start driving there and you sit in the parking lot and you wait for a really long time. And so then you go in and you say to someone, hey, I ordered my tacos a really long time ago. I would assume they've been ready. Is everything all right? And they go, they're right there. And they point to them at the host stand and they've been done for 25 minutes. And then you say those people, you say, I did not get my text. And they go, we don't do texting anymore. I go, I think you do. And they go, we don't. We don't have that system anymore. And then you pull your phone out and you go, it says right here that you do. It says you will text me and they're done. And they go, yeah, but the second text, it doesn't work anymore. I go, that feels like a piece of information that people should know so you don't have enraged human beings coming into the thing. And then you ask to speak to the manager so you can get some gift cards before you take home your $90 worth of soggy tacos.
Oh, boy.
While I am waiting for the... It's an indoor-outdoor place. So while I am waiting for the manager so I can go full, you know, man-Karen on the situation and get my gift cards, I hear someone just going, put the money on the table. Put your money on the table. Money on the table. And I know gambling when I hear it. I mean, I love a good gamble. So it's coming from the patio. So I kind of peek out and around and there's four kids about Isaac's age. There's some cash on the table and they are, one of the kids and another kid are basically like doing the put your money on the table argument. And one of the kids is going, I don't carry cash. I'll Venmo you. And he goes, I don't trust you. I don't trust your Venmo. This is a very bro-y, like, you think I'm going to believe your Venmo, bro? Like, it's a very weird, bro-y combative. But finally, they settle on it. And I realized the bet is whether or not the kid who was shouting money on the table can fit an entire hard shell taco into his mouth. And I realized that, Chad, because I just watched him do it. He did it. I don't know what sort of second set of teeth he has in his throat or if the back wall of his mouth is made out of I don't know how he smashed the back half of the taco. But he cartoon character Snake unhinged his jaw and put an entire taco, and then he closed his lips around it. I don't know how, and he didn't like slow like or. It was just put it in, close your lips. I've never seen anything like it.
I once saw Shubes put 3 soft shell tacos in his mouth. And I was like, how did you do that? And he goes, oh, I used to suck my thumb when I was a baby. And his thumb is half as big as his dick.
Yeah, everything comes back to you and Shubes' sweatpants. But yeah, so it was pretty wild to see somebody, the human version. Like if Taco John's had their own anaconda. That's what it, you know. Do anacondas eat stuff? Pythons, boa constrictors constrict.
They do.
And anacondas?
But they also eat. They all eat. Let's not forget that. They just eat in different ways. Some snakes have venom. Some snakes choke you to death and then eat you. But it's all in preparation for the eating, so you could have gone with any of them.
And some snakes walk off with $2,000 of your merch money and you never hear from them again.
Oh, boy. Hey, there's a bug in my bathroom.
Okay.
I'm just going to continue. There's a bug in my bathroom, and it's been there forever, right? So it's on the wall when I'm standing peeing.
A bug?
A bug. It is one of those
hard... specifics?
Little tiny... It's about the size of a wood tick, but it's not a wood tick. It's a beetle, because when you push down on them, they crunch.
Gross.
They have a crunchy exoskeleton.
Sure.
And so when I'm standing, it's to my right. And so I can see it on the wall. It has been there for, I'm going to go with a month.
Alive?
It's been there for a month in the same spot. And so it hasn't eaten, it hasn't drank anything. So
I'm so sorry to interrupt. And I'm sure okay. I'm torpedoing Please. This, but.
No.
You must go to the bathroom multiple times a day.
I do.
And you've seen a bug on your wall just hanging out for a month?
Correct.
And just been like, well, there's the bug, and just left yep. the bathroom.
I leave it as a warning to other bugs. That's okay, my okay, whole
so,
point.
Yeah, it's like what I wanted to do with the muskrat. So it is a dead bug. Yes, it's a, yes, this is a, you. This is a dictator move.
Yeah, this is a, if you crawl on this wall, fucking look what happens, bitch.
So it
it's
is
that
a,
kind
it's
of a thing.
Dead bug. Gotcha.
So, you know, it's there. It's whatever. It's become part of the art. You know, part of the kind of the vibe of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then today, right before the podcast, I was in there peeing, and the fucking thing started crawling down the wall. It's been there for a month. It has not eaten. It has not drank anything. I don't get it. Unless they did this shit. You know how like twins try to fuck each other's girlfriends? Unless they pulled this thing where they're like, all right, he's sleeping. Go get dad off the wall. I'm going to go right into dad's position. And when he's peeing tomorrow, I'm going to crawl down the wall and fucking blow his mind. It was so insane. I've never been able to cut off my flow of pissing. Not ever. I remember one time after a bar, I was peeing outside by a car and the cop was like, if you keep peeing, I'm going to arrest you. And I was like, you're going to have to arrest me, man. I don't know how to do that. And today when the bug started crawling, I bet you I sucked piss up back into my whole bladder. Back way up into it. It actually may have reversed the process and started to become coffee again. That's how hard I sucked this piss back in. And so I was just like, where are you going? So then I just waited in there and followed to where he was going. And he crawled down and crawled back up to his spot and then just stopped again. This bitch, I don't know what's going on in here, but I fucking love it.
Yeah, I love any idea that the creatures that live in and around your house are turning on you. That's going to be a fun angle for this show.
Oh yeah, I can't wait where all of a sudden, cuckoo, cuckoo, I just come out crazy. Hey guys, this is Chad Daniels. You've landed in the middle of summer. You know what else has landed in the middle of somewhere? So many bugs and their families. They're coming to get me, man. Just losing my mind. All right. So let me just use the button bar. I know you don't like it anymore, but I'm just going to use it one more time because I got to push this. Brat! Nope. Stop. Not that one. Oh, it's got to be. He must have switched the buttons around. It's this one.
Fring, frong, frick.
God damn it. It's not that one. Oh, here we go. Got it.
Chad in.
No. What in the fuck? Where did he put that? Oh, here we go. This got to be. There's only six buttons, so it has to be this one.
Cy prefaces shitting on.
It's not that one either. What in the. Oh, here. Got it. Last one.
I gotta go.
Well, that's fun. Okay. All right. Well, I'll see. I guess I'll see you later.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.